Good morning, everybody. We started a church there in Lacey Springs in a small trailer. And then we have a Bible study on Tuesday nights in a community center this there. And so y'all be praying for us, praying that, you know, people see the truth. And, you know, people have. People do. And our prayer here at this Bible conference is that somebody sees the truth. I've been 28 years getting here, and I finally made the big time. I witnessed to a lady named Jill at the front desk over at the motel. She said, "I'm going to put you in a suite." She said, "138. She said, "It's got a jacuzzi." Hey, I went in there, it's a heart-shaped jacuzzi. I'm telling you, I have made the big time. Now, it is not the streets of gold. You understand? But it is a sweet by and by. It is that. When I was witness to Jill up front, I got to talking to her. And she mentioned divorce. She mentioned that she worked 60 to 80 hours, and she said it's worth it all. I got a divorce, and I have to work 60 to 80 hours, so it was worth it all. And we got to talking about divorces. And I said, "Do you know that God got a divorce?" And she said, "Huh?" And I said, "Yeah, God got a divorce." And she said, "Where does it say that at?" I said, "Well, in Jeremiah chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, it said Israel went a whoring and went after other gods. He said, I pleaded with her. Said she wouldn't listen. He said, I handed her a bill of divorce." And Jeremiah chapter 31 through verses 33, 34 there, he said, "I was an husbandman unto her." And so when I look in the Old Testament back here, I see back here that God gave Israel a bill of divorce. But you know something? When I look at the divorce in the Bible, when you read in Deuteronomy chapter 24, you read back there that once a man gave a woman a divorce, she could go marry another. And he could go marry another. And you don't know what the people, but I've had come up to me and ask me, say, "Would you marry me?" And of course my answer is, "No, I'm already married." And they say, I mean, "Would you perform the ceremony?" And I always tell them, "Sure. If you'll let me counsel you before the ceremony, I'll be happy." And say, "I got one other problem." "So what's that?" "So, well, I'm out of the door." And I say, "You too?" You see, the religious system out there, they put burdens upon people that they themselves are not able to bear. And they do it all the time. And they don't know anything about this book. Amen. They don't know anything about the Word of God. And so they put forth their own thoughts. But you know, when God gave Israel divorce, you know what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 24? That He's not able to take her back. If you give a woman a divorce according to the law, you can't take her back. You may marry another, and if she marries another, and that guy dies, you still can't have her back. You see, God gave Israel back here a divorce. But you know what He did? The Bible said He called out a new nation. Yeah, they had to be born again. Just as they're born over here, and they became His wife, over here in the New Testament over here, they're going to be His bride.
Are they not?
Yeah, they're associated with the bride. Yes, yeah, sir, they are. See? But here in the dispensation of grace over here, God created something different. That's the program for Israel. Now, I want to talk about this program here. The dispensation of grace. The program that God has for us. And I'm going to try something. How does anybody know Romans chapter 1 verse 16? How about verse 15? That's the one I'm going to try right there. The one I'm going to try in the Bible. It says, Paul said, "I'm ready to preach the gospel unto you," but he said, "as much as life in me." So today, I'm going to do like Paul told those people on the ship. Paul was on the ship for 14 days. That ship's about to sink. You talking about some people pulling their hair out, throwing everything on the ship. They throw it all in the sea. They throw all the articles, all the pieces of stuff on the ship in the sea. The sun didn't come up for 14 days and the same night. And it was about to go down. And the Apostle Paul said, listen to me. Listen to me and no harm come to you. No harm. And you know what it is? I don't know if any of you know anything about sailing or not. But if you sail a vessel, like if you got a ship, and you sail a ship, when you put that sail up like this right here, the wind grabs that sail and pushes that ship. Now when it pushes that ship, if it ain't pushing this way, you ain't going to go straight. And so when it grabs that sail and it pushes, you have to go this way. And then you have to, what they call, tack. And when you tack, the sail comes around and it catches the wind the other way and it drives it this way and this is the way the sail goes. Go back and forth like you're driving. That's how you travel in a sailboat. The wind travels, it pushes you along. And if you don't tack and move that thing back and forth, you just keep going sideways. Stay forever. But the wind drives that vessel. And so there's been 14 days on this sailboat, and it took everything on the sailboat, all the food, everything they had, and threw it across off of the ship, took all the hardware, everything on the ship, and they thought it was going down. The ship was heavyweight. But Paul said, listen to me, and everything will be just fine. And you know what Paul said? And listen, they were the fourth man. Rock, it's like, you know, they were afraid to go to the shore because they're afraid they're going to wreck the ship. You know what Paul said, dude? He said, set sail. And I'm just going to let her drive. Listen to me. Jesus Christ, when he's on the face of this earth, died a horrible way. You know? Why did he put him through that? And you know something? For that man to be punished, like he was punished. If you look at the night and that he went through that night and how much he was punished. Well, when I look at what they did to him, do you know when they punished Jesus Christ, they was afraid and there was a fear of their life, and so they punished him, saying that I punished him hard enough and I beat him fast enough. And they punished that man an inch from his life. And not only one time, but I'm talking about all night long. And when you read the scripture about him being punished like that, you know that he was not a normal man. And matter of fact, this Bible says he was the second Adam. I thought about that. He's the second Adam. Well, how about the first Adam? Remember what Adam looked like? What do you think Adam looked like? Well, I know what the Bible said. The Bible said he had hair. Man, it's thick. I mean, it is thick. And it said he said it's black, short, and curly long. It said he had a dull eye. It said he had a dull eye. And it said his neck was at the tower of David with 190 shields of them. When I see the picture of Christ and what I see in the Word of God over here, is that Jesus Christ was one hand on him. I mean, he was, if you could see Jesus Christ, you could see Adam, you could see the perfect man. I'm talking about the perfect man. When I see the Son of Man with the skin of a guy that's on the cross with a long hair, you know what I mean? And not able to do anything.
Jesus Christ took a beating that night, and it took one heck of a man to take the beating that he took. Why on earth did God ever do that man that way? I mean, what's going on there? So God is painting you a picture of what happened. God is trying to get you to see something there. And he's doing it. Did God ever do that?
He said, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased. This day have I begotten him." You know what he begot him to? To the priesthood. At his baptism, Jesus Christ was begotten into the priesthood. And Jesus Christ, from that point on, right there, began to teach the children of Israel about the priesthood. And about what's fixing to happen, he started teaching as well. But there came a time when Jesus Christ went to die. And we read that in the Bible. And every time I read that in the Bible, it just amazes me. It's amazing. Why did God do that? Why did God take his son and let somebody take and be a reed of thorns around his head and beat him on his head like that? And probably, if you see that, you probably see the skin before that. You probably see the white in his skull. You know, the Bible said there was nothing comely about him. I'm talking about probably the prettiest man that ever walked on the face of this earth. You couldn't make you sick and make you throw up and look at him. Do you know that while he was on the cross, that they gave him gall to drink? You know what gall is? Listen, I had acid reflux, and I was laying in the bed one night, and I was laying there, and the sickness in my arm was terrible. And all of a sudden, gall came over my throat. And I said, right straight up in the middle of the bed. And he threw my shirt out of the water. Man, listen to me. My mouth was on fire. My mouth burned like I ain't never had it burn before in my whole life. I mean, I couldn't swallow enough. I went and got water, and I drank water. I drank milk. I drank orange juice. I drank everything I could. I could not get the taste out of my mouth. They took gall and stuck it in his mouth. And you know what the Bible says? It said his tongue played to his jaw. Why would God do that to his son? Why would God put him to a miserable death like that? I'm talking about a horrible death like that. Why would he do that? I've thought for years and years and years, you know, why so bad? You know, God painted me a picture. And I want you to. Listen to me. What do you think God would think of you if you never in your whole life done one thing? I mean, you're the best. All you did was help everybody you came to contact with and loved everybody and gave them and you did it out all your life and you never did anything wrong. How about if you never had a bad thought, just like you never had a bad thought, what'd that become? What if you never did anything wrong with anybody? What's your answer? You know what the picture is? What do you think about it? Something.
God hates the flesh.
God hates the flesh. That very thing that you're sitting in right now, God hates the flesh. And you know what he did at Calvary? He showed you how much he hates the flesh. And so when you're trying to please God in the flesh, guess what he said? He said it's like taking filthy rags
and put it up into a knot and try to see God.
And you know something? Jesus Christ not only did things in his deeds in his body,
but he did it in his mind. He, on his very last breath, said, Eli, Eli, Sabbathani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? His very last breath, he fulfilled.
Not only did he do everything, I'm talking about everything in the flesh to please God, but he did everything in the spirit to please God. Listen to me. Everything you could ever do, everything you could ever say, think,
he's done took care of that.
Listen, there's nothing for you to do, there's nothing for you to think, there's nothing for you to say,
he's done it all.
He finished it at Calvary. And I guarantee you, some people right now, I'm talking to you right now, that you're trying to finish it. And listen, if you was to stop and think, this Bible is totally different than what we are. I mean, is it not?
It's opposite than what we are.
If I was to, never have seen this book, never in my life seen this book,
and you told me about God, you were to say, well, how do you think God ever saved you?
You know what my answer would be? I'd tell you what it would be. Thank you are too good and be good.
Thank you are too never right. Thank you are too what's right. That's what I would say. That ain't how God thinks it is.
No, God gave His Son to die for us. You know, I would have never thought to say, hey, God. Listen, there are three different things that I want to talk to you about, and it has to do with sin. You know those are noun?
What's that?
Perfect. Okay.
Perfect person, place. Is it not?
Well, there's a sin that's a name. And that sin is what causes death. And you can see it underneath a microscope.
If you looked at a child is created, when a seed is placed into a woman, it has immortality.
And you know what immortality is?
It's always being true.
And when that seed is placed into a woman,
it reproduces. One becomes two. Two becomes four. Four becomes eight. And eight becomes 16. And when it gets to 16 down here, there's one that comes down. And the scientists see it underneath a microscope. And it starts killing off. Just what that is.
Can you do that?
And
you look at Genesis chapter 3, and he tells Cain, he says, see a lot of the heart.
We're
over here.
That's a thing that we actually do.
Now, we all sin
is
right.
And we actually do this. And I want to talk to you about
the adjectives.
There is a problem to my mother. There is nothing to lie. I don't care how many preachers in here, how hard they can preach, they're not going to let me down, my family.
Amen.
I'll be glorified. And I'm glorified in the fact that they were so good. But I am saved. I have come to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. If I am not a servant of sin, and how do you know if you're a servant of sin? And when you think in those thoughts, you are a servant of sin. Make no doubt about it. If you have any doubt in your mind right now, you are a servant of sin. And you know what you're doing with that?
You're
crucified. You're going to put it to rest. You're going to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, knowing that nothing you say or do to be saved. You're going to put sin to death one time. You're going to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and that's it. No more doubt. No way, hallelujah, I love it. I don't have to worry about
salvation no more. And I'm not fighting anything. I love that. You're looking at somebody who's going to fight. I've run from this, quit it, done all kind of stuff. And I'll fight it to the end. And I did. And I trusted Jesus God as my Lord and Savior. I gave up and trusted Him. And ever since then, I've never fought. How about you? Are you thinking, oh yeah, I'm saying, I know I am. If you are right now, you're in trouble.
You thank the Lord, hallelujah, I like that. I love it. When you're in sanctuary, if you ain't, then I've added to sin, it's going to move you right now. You see how you do it? You say, right now, where you're sitting there right now, trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's still.
It's all done. It's all finished. What's lacking now? It's you. And I'm going to sum up sin with one word. It's unbelief. Buddy, the Bible says when you sin, you don't sin against man, you sin against God. Right now, if you're lost, you're in unbelief. Sin has its grips upon you. And it's the predominant thing in your life, and you are servant to that sin. And the only way you can ever get rid of it is crucified. Put it to death. And death is never, never easy. I've seen people die time and time again, and I know the death that I died to what was taught me in this world. And when I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, it wasn't easy. It was hard. So death is always hard. And I know it's a hard thing for you. But if you trust Christ as your Lord and Savior, you'll have eternal life. How about it now? Are you saved? Do you know? No, you're saved. Or is there some small doubt back there that you might not be? Would you trust Christ right now if I asked you? I've got a 50-50 chance at it.
One thing you say, no, yeah. Would you rather do the same? Would you say? Would you do it? Would you not?